Hey folks, Ray Hollister here from Deemable Tech. Before we get the show started, I wanted to ask you real quick for your support. Now don't panic, I'm not asking for money yet. What we're asking for, if you don't know, our budget for advertising is slim to nothing. Or it's actually pretty much nothing. So we need your help. We need you to promote the show for us. If you like Deemable Tech, would you post about it on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on, you know, email people, tell people in person, tell them to check out Deemable Tech, tell them to download and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and make sure also, if you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe to the show and leave a review for us on iTunes and on Stitcher. The more reviews we have, the higher up we show in the search results and the more listeners we get. So we'd really appreciate your support in getting the news out about Deemable Tech so that more people find and listen to the show. Thanks. All right, and on with the show. From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 77. The episode title is a GIF.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
Hey guys, don't forget to check us out on Reddit, that is reddit.com/r/deemable, or go to deemable.com/reddit. You can vote for which stories you think we should talk about on the show and submit stories of your own.
All right, well, let's get right into the big stories in the tech world for this week. Here is this week's runaround.
Hey Ray, why you want to give me a runaround? Is it a surefire way to speed things up? Because all it seems to do is slow me down.
Wow. Right, here is this week's rundown. Tesla CEO Elon Musk held a press conference this week at which he announced that late model Teslas will be getting a software update that will give them a new feature called Autopilot.
Ooh.
Now, the Autopilot feature will bring ordinary Tesla electric cars, which they're kind of not ordinary in and of themselves, but they will bring them that much closer to being self-driving cars, enabling them to stay in their lane on a well-marked highway without driver intervention.
Hmm.
Musk claimed that the autopilot technology would be able to drive, would enable a driver to make it from San Francisco to Seattle without steering.
Nice.
And Musk also announced a feature called Range Assurance, which will alert Tesla drivers when the charge in their car is getting too low to make it to the nearest charging station. I just geeked out when I heard this news.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited because they pulled this off. They're going to do this with a software update.
Sure.
So we didn't even know that there was this technology in the cars. Mm-hmm. They're just like, yeah, we're going to just kind of roll this out. You know, no big. It's an operating system upgrade.
Yeah. Now, apparently there's a hardware package in the car already.
Right.
You know, because the car's got some kind of radar and there's presumably cameras and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
it's got the gear in it already. They just didn't activate it.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool.
I am super excited about this.
I'm jealous. I want a Tesla. I mean, I guess I already want a Tesla, but
yeah,
you know. Exactly.
I did too.
Yeah. So this is sort of like War of the Worlds where the alien ships were already buried into the earth.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's right.
They're just waiting for the time to come out.
It reminds me, and this is kind of geeking out way back, when I got my Palm, it did not have video, Palm Pre.
Mm-hmm.
It did not have video recording capability.
Hang on, I got to update the sign that says we've gone this many podcasts without Ray mentioning the Palm Pre.
Fair enough. But it came out as an OS update when they rolled out the video recording features. Oh. Like, 'cause they already had the hardware in it.
Sure.
And I think it's amazing that Tesla was able to pull it off without nobody really paying attention to this,
mm-hmm.
that there was this technology built in to enable this to happen.
Yeah.
I heard somebody talk about, I wish I could remember, but they were saying, you know, it's not really crazy when you think about it because it's not like the tech companies or the tech journalists like us, you know, get a Tesla to tear it apart, you know, right after it comes out. Like every new gadget, that's what people do.
Yeah.
There's always
Let's tear down this Tesla.
Exactly. Right. That doesn't happen. It's an expensive car. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they were just taking it to their local mechanic to have it worked on. when you had a problem with your Tesla, if you have it, you take it to the Tesla dealership.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's not like the mechanics at Tesla are going to be like, oh, yeah, did we tell you, blah, blah, blah? No, they're not going to say that.
Yeah.
So, and there's not like shade tree mechanics who are working on their Teslas, too. So, it's not terribly surprising that they kind of let this sneak under the radar.
Have you guys seen a Tesla in person?
I have.
There's somebody around Jacksonville that has one, at least one person.
Do you know them?
No.
Can we drive it?
No. I wish I knew them.
It's if you're listening,
please contact us.
And you're a fan of us, we are a fan of you.
Yes, that's right.
Because they are gorgeous. They are the prettiest looking cars I've seen on the road.
Yeah, it's a very nice looking car. I wouldn't mind at least just walking up to it.
That's, I've seen one downtown.
Yeah,
and it was, I was like, oh, I want one so bad. The range assurance is a smart move, though, because that is the thing that I think people worry about the most.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all used to our iPhones and smartphones and laptops dying because the battery didn't last. And you don't want to do that in the middle of the desert or, you know, in the middle of somewhere where you aren't safe.
The logical thing will be to combine range assurance with autopilot, so your car will just all of a sudden start driving to the nearest charging station.
Exactly.
I actually saw a Star Trek The Next Generation episode on Netflix that was pretty much that was the plot the other day, except it involved Data.
Oh, not perfect.
Making that up. It's called Brothers. You can check it out, season 4.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. All right, let's move on to some news about Target. You guys probably remember the massive data breach that hit Target back in 2013 near the holiday season, where tens of millions of credit cards were stolen right out of their system.
I was a victim of that.
Oh, actually. Were you?
Well, my wife was.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Her debit card.
There was a class action lawsuit filed, and now Target is preparing to settle for $10 million.
That's a lot of money, though.
Yeah, but
it's affected millions of people.
Yeah.
Millions.
If it does seem low to you, it's because Target is not going to do the usual thing and send like $5 to every customer whose card number was stolen.
Oh.
Instead, cardholders can only be reimbursed if they can show that they were actually hurt by the data breach.
Oh.
They need to have had fraudulent charges placed on their card that they were not reimbursed for, that negatively affected their credit score, or show that they spent a lot of time and money resolving the problem, or that it harmed them in some other way.
What?
Yeah, the proposed settlement...
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, the settlement is only preliminary, and the members of the class action suit have until, I believe, November to object to these terms.
Right. I object.
So you sound dissatisfied with these terms, right?
I am. I thought it was just, you know, they were going to do like a buck a person. Man, that is kind of ridiculous because, you know, everybody who was affected, they had to change their debit card. You know, it affected every other company that you had a debit card on file with. You had to change all that. I actually got a late fee for something because
that would be something where I think you would file with them here.
Well, this makes it sound like, well, that's not their fault because I didn't change my debit card with the other companies. This sounds like Weasel Town. Like they're getting away with it. They're kind of weaseling their way out of it. And I don't like that. I think they should have to pay.
Yeah. I sort of see their argument because in most cases, credit cards, you're covered.
Right.
Like, fraudulent charges most of the time, they're like, oh, sorry, we see that was fraudulent.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect you. So, at the end of the day, probably, it's true, 99% of people. And most people, I think, whose cards' numbers got stolen, their card got changed, there were probably never any fraudulent charges placed on them at all.
Yeah.
And so, you know, no harm, no foul from Target's perspective. But what I object to in this, I think, personally, is like, Target screwed up big time.
Yeah.
Companies have to be shown this is not okay. You have to protect the customer data that is in your care.
Yeah, because no matter how benevolent a company is, the bottom line is the bottom line. That is what's going to make changes. They're not going to be more secure than they have to be. And they're not going to be, they're not going to do anything that isn't affecting their financial stability.
$10 million isn't even a speeding ticket for Target.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously now they've had other, you know, people have avoided Target and they've had, you know, it has had an impact on their bottom line.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think there needs to be an official, you know, there needs to be official repercussions. And companies need to be like, okay, we understand that we need to take real steps to protect people's data.
Yeah.
And this is a priority for us.
Now that I think about it, I think my bank, when all this happened, just went ahead and canceled the card that I had.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, it looks like you shopped at Target during this time. We're just going to go ahead and cancel your card for you.
Yeah, that's what happened with mine.
Yeah.
That may have actually happened with, I mean, because it wasn't my card, so I wasn't really involved.
Yeah.
But that may have been what happened with Amber's. I just remember the annoying deal of going through, okay, which companies do we have your card on? Which ones are my card? Because it comes out of the same account anyway.
Yeah.
But it wasn't irritating. Speaking of retail companies making epic mistakes, Radio Shack, you know about Radio Shack. Mm-hmm. They're on the auction block this week as its creditors are attempting to sell the company's assets. And this apparently includes a large chunk of customer data, including 65 million customer names and physical addresses.
Oh.
And 13 million email addresses.
Ew.
I'm pretty sure one of those is mine. Because I'm pretty sure they've got all my contact information. Obviously, consumer advocates are concerned, and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton claims it may be illegal under state law. Texas does not allow companies to violate their own privacy policies, and signage in Radio Shack promises that they will not sell their private mailing list. AT&T is also opposing the sale of data because they say Radio Shack is not entitled to personal information it collects from wireless sales.
Hmm.
AT&T wants the data destroyed to keep it from falling into competitors' hands.
I know, it sounds so dramatic.
And the bankruptcy court still has to approve the deal. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
I keep being disappointed by Radio Shack.
Mm.
It drives me crazy. This
they wanted to disappoint you one last time on
one last
to the grave.
Time before they're gone. What a shame. I mean, they can't do this. I'm hoping the bankruptcy court is savvy enough to know that this is not acceptable.
Yeah, just because you're going into bankruptcy doesn't mean you can violate your own privacy policies,
right.
And it's just completely flat out illegal.
It just is. So I'm sure next week we'll be talking about how the judge laughed at them and said, "No, stupid, you can't do that."
I hope
hopefully.
So.
But speaking of defunct electronic stores, hey, do you guys remember, you know, Circuit City, CompUSA, or maybe you guys might not know this one, Ultimate Electronics?
I don't know that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you know Circuit City and CompUSA.
Yeah, they were
all over Jacksonville. Well, and Ultimate Electronics is apparently one that was off in the Midwest. Well, Tiger Direct bought them out in the early aughts, or the late aughts, sorry.
Okay.
You know what the aughts are, right?
The thousands.
The thousands. The first decade of the millennium.
Yeah, no one knows what they're
called.
There
is no name for them, but that's what I call them.
Yeah.
The first 10 years
the
zero of this
zeros.
The O's. Anyways, totally side conversation there. But Tiger Direct, you may be familiar with. Actually, every geek is familiar with Tiger Direct. Mm-hmm.
Built a few bare-bone systems through them back in the aughts.
Great place to buy your computer components and your even full computers. They have great stuff there. Not an ad for Tiger Direct because apparently Tiger Direct is joining the likes of Circuit City and CompUSA in the electronic retail store afterlife.
Ooh.
So here's what happened. Two of the former executives for Tiger Direct were recently sentenced to 60 and 80 months apiece in jail.
Oh, that's a lot of months.
Yeah, it's a lot of months.
Why are they in jail?
For a kickback scheme that they committed that apparently cost the company $27 million.
Okay.
Whew. They were working a deal with a distributor, and they were overcharging prices to the company and getting some of that money back.
Okay.
Apparently, they got around $11 million in kickbacks.
Hmm.
So
that's no bueno.
Maybe it was worth it, but they're going to jail. But apparently, that scheme hurt the company so much that the company decided to close all but two of its retail stores.
Wow.
So it makes me kind of sad for two reasons. One, Tiger Direct was kind of the dot-com boom success story.
Hmm.
You know, they were there during the big boom of the early aughts. And, you know, they actually started as a catalog company.
That's true. I remember those catalogs.
That.
Yeah, I used to get them.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they started in like the 80s. I'm like, I did not know that. So they were like, you know, in the old days. But they transitioned into internet sales really early. They were one of the first internet companies out there selling stuff. And, you know, when all the retail computer stores started dying, Tiger Direct was really doing well. Mm-hmm. And they just bought up all the stores and all their intellectual property and jumped into the retail market, like, with both feet, just dived in. And they were doing really, really well. And, you know, they did a really great job of turning stores like CompUSA and Circuit City, which were just known for these fancy displays and customer service that wasn't really great, like another big box store that's still around. Mm-hmm. You know, they know their job, that they know how to sell stuff. And that's how it was back at CompUSA and Circuit City. And everything was overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned it into a geek-friendly computer store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they stripped down the displays. They stripped down the packaging. You know, a lot of the packaging at Tiger Direct is just brown boxes.
Plastic bags.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they priced everything at prices that competed with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I could go and look up a price online and just walk into Tiger and say, well, it's here for the same price. I'll get it there.
Mm-hmm.
So, now on the flip side, as a business owner, I am really depressed because there's no place in town for me to get computer parts anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. Tiger Direct was the last place. I could occasionally go to Radio Shack, which is also closed now.
Ironically.
Yeah. And I mean, literally the only place left really is Best Buy.
Huh.
And the prices just aren't there. I mean, I'll wait a couple of days and get it online. Now, speaking of which, Tiger Direct is going to continue selling computers, electronics, and computer components on its website. Of course, we haven't heard any word yet if Newegg is planning on buying up its stores, and because that would just be the perfect irony.
Nice.
So, any thoughts? Have you got? When was the last time you guys were in a Tiger Direct?
Oh, it's been a really long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing all my electronics and computer component buying on the internet for years.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, nothing against Tiger Direct. I just haven't had a need to go into a store.
I usually buy from Newegg if I'm going to buy something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, their prices are close to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of duke it out. But I mean, when I started the business, I needed quick access to components.
Sure. You need something right then.
Yeah. I mean, that's the place to go. So it I guess people will just have to wait now. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Farewell, Tiger Direct. We hardly knew thee. Well, here's another thing the internet has ruined, Sean Birch.
What's that?
Faking your own death.
Oh, what?
What? Yeah.
Jacksonville businessman Jose Lantigua.
A Jacksonville guy.
Yeah. Had been reported dead in Venezuela 2 years ago.
Oh, that's sad.
But when he attempted to apply for a new passport under his new false identity, the U.S. State Department used facial recognition software to match him up to his original identity in their database. And federal agents then set up a sting operation and caught him wearing a brown toupee and, quote, a poorly dyed beard. Lantigua is wanted on numerous accounts of insurance fraud since his family attempted to collect on his life insurance policy after his, quote unquote, death.
Wow. Mm.
And the insurance company has actually been viewing this case for a long time with suspicion. So.
Wow. So.
Yeah.
I mean, and how do they prove it, though? The facial recognition was good enough to prove that he's the guy? Or
well,
did he confess?
So a little more detail of the story. His false identity was actually somebody who was dead, and also, by the way, African-American, which he is not.
Oh.
Whoopsie.
So that threw up a red flag, and that's when they put it through the facial recognition software, which then did a match with his old identity, and that's when they're like, huh, this guy's supposed to be dead, but it matches this other guy.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And so that's when they kind of started, like, probably, you know, tracing phone calls and that kind of thing. And,
wow.
And tracked him down and found he was still alive.
Wow.
Yeah. But this is actually a new program for the State Department, though, this facial recognition database. They've just got it up and running. And this is cool. There's been just a couple of high-profile busts that they've used it for so far.
I gotta admit, I've always felt that facial recognition wasn't as great as they made it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
But when you're looking, when you're talking about something like passport photos, mm-hmm. right, we have to be taken from the same angle yeah. every time. Yeah. Like, that's a perfect application for facial recognition. Now,
sure.
you know, when you see in the movies or on TV where it's like, here's a camera and from an angle, yeah. you know, and it's grainy and they can, no, that doesn't work. But yeah, like, it's if it's from like flat on, taken in the same light every time, then yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Just think about Facebook. Like, the facial recognition on Facebook is really good. Like, you can put pictures in and it'll automatically tag you.
Actually, funny story. I posted today. So, this is a little inside joke, I guess. I went to a local place today and there was a picture of our own friend Ray Hollister here hanging on the wall.
It's true. Yeah.
So, I took a picture of this picture.
Yes.
I took a picture of this picture and posted it on Facebook, and Facebook auto-tagged Ray in that picture.
To explain, I was involved in a photo project of redheads, and a fan of the show knew I was a redhead and asked me to be a part of this, and I agreed to do it, and yeah.
I really hope there's...
When the Dirty Strawberry Blonde project comes around, I'll get my day in the sun.
I really hope there's someone listening to this show that's never seen a picture of us, and you just ruined their image.
Yeah.
They're like, I thought he was Asian.
Yeah. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know why I get that a lot, and that's not true, but otherwise, yes.
Well, speaking of something you thought was going to be one thing, but was another, terrible segue there.
Wow.
I like it. I like it. That was a good segue. Yeah, I'll take it.
This week, a writer for Daily Dot named Richard Lewis published a story about YouTube, which is owned by Google, if you didn't know, reportedly planning to relaunch its live streaming platform with a focus on computer gaming and esports, which I never actually heard that term before today.
It's esports.
Gaming competition.
Wait, that's not how it goes.
I think that's something else. But this is similar to Twitch, which got a lot of attention last year.
That's right. Yep. Google tried to buy it.
Yeah, Google tried to buy it last year, but it ended up being purchased by Amazon.
And, oh, right. I was wondering about that. I was thinking, because there were so many rumors that Google did buy Twitch that I forgot that they didn't.
Yeah. Amazon ended up with them. And it's apparently just a huge, giant site, Twitch is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. But the weird part about this story is while Lewis was writing this article, he reached out to Google for a comment on these reports just to get something from them. And apparently Google responded with something that only they could get away with. Instead of sending the usual, like, no comment kind of response back, the representative from Google sent Lewis an animated GIF of a little girl shrugging her shoulders. That was the entire message. Yep. There was no text. It was just a GIF.
It's very cute.
It is very cute.
It's adorable. It's actually the little girl from Good Luck, Charlie.
Is that what it is?
A TV show on the Disney Channel.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah. I've got kids. Yeah. That's how I know.
Now,
I know Charlie.
At first, Lewis assumed this was a joke and said in his story that he received a no comment response from Google. But then the same representative sent him another message the next day saying that, no, that GIF was our official response, and we want you to include that in the story. So if you go and read that story on Daily Dot, it actually has that GIF in there. He's like, this is their official response. This is really funny, but a lot of people have been reporting on it, including Wired. And they did something funny. They said that they wanted to reach out to Google and see if this was true or not. And they hoped that their response back from Google would be this GIF of Ray.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert.
Ray has it up right now. It's Stephen Colbert dancing.
We'll include these GIFs.
Yeah, we'll include it in the show notes. And then,
because you got to see them.
YouTube responded to Wired and actually sent them another GIF.
Yeah, they said, we love Stephen Colbert, his hashtag Stephen at home, but YouTube prefers confirming we send with animal GIFs. And it's a bear staring at a window, shaking his head yes, in front of the kids on the other side of the window. This is apparently at a zoo. And they're also shaking their head. Again, we'll include them because the GIFs are just wonderful.
Perfect.
They're Yeah, magnificent.
Now, what do you guys think about this? Like I said earlier, I feel like this is something that only a company like Google could get away with.
I think we are seeing the evolution of communication. I think that
we're all going to communicate through animated GIFs in the future.
We're all going to communicate through animated GIFs.
And emoji.
And emoji and Bitmoji.
Bitmoji.
Bitmoji. You've
What's
never
Bitmoji?
Bitmoji is an alternate keyboard for iPhone. It may be on Android too. I'm not sure.
Probably not.
Do you remember Bitstrip? The cartoons that were made to look like you on they were on Facebook.
Okay.
A lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So take it out of Facebook and put it into messaging. It is hilarious.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun, and it actually you can communicate a lot with a Bitmoji.
Yeah.
And emoji too if you know how to use it properly. But it's funny how language has gone from pictures, you know, originally we started with pictures, like hieroglyphs, and now it's gone back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So
that's true. Well,
but we haven't added animation.
We have added true. Animation.
So that's a step forward. That's a step forward.
I think it's, I love it. I think it's a very effective use of communication tools.
I think the next episode we're just going to do it all in emoji.
That's right.
An animated
it is an emoji podcast.
An emoji cast. Can we copyright that?
Ray, I'm sending you a pile of poop that has eyes for some reason.
Why is there anything like that in verbal? I mean, there's
I don't really understand a lot of the emoji, like what they mean. I wish there was a key.
The emoji translator.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is all the news that we have, but we have a review coming up right after this break. Welcome back to Deemable Tech. Now you're welcome. I'm glad to have you here, Tom.
That's really warming.
Hey, I am.
What about me?
I'm also glad that you're here because that means I don't have to run the soundboard.
Oh, okay. That's real nice, Ray.
That is what you mean to me, Sean Birch. Also, I enjoy your company and your commentary.
That's good.
But we are going to talk about the Cogito. I knew I was going to mess up the name. Cogito.
I
have no idea.
I think it's Cogito. That's Cogito. What I would say. Cogito. You know what? To be fair to Ray, they did not pick a great name.
No, but it's Latin. I mean, this is not a hard word. It's Cogito, which is part of Cogito Ergo Sum,
right.
Which is...
I think, therefore I am.
I think, therefore I am. Yeah. Yes, I knew that, and I even had it in my notes. The Cogito is a watch. This is actually the Cogito Classic that I have. And I'll start by saying they contacted us to see if we wanted to review this. And, of course, I said yes, because, you know, when people offer to send me stuff, I generally say yes, unless it's immoral, then I won't do it. But,
looks like a very moral smartwatch.
It's a very moral smartwatch. It is very, very pretty.
Is a handsome timepiece.
Yeah, it's actually not pretty. It's very handsome. It is a burnt orange. It has a burnt orange rim. It's black. And
it's round, we should say, because a lot of smartwatches are not round.
Like the Pebble watch is a square-ish watch. And it has a silicone band. Now, this is the sport model. Mm-hmm. They do have models that have metal bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice watch.
It's got dials or knobs. What do you call them in watch world?
They're buttons.
buttons.
It's just a button.
Oh.
It does have a the crown.
The crown.
The classic crown.
Yes. Yeah.
And what makes this different than a lot of smartwatches is that it is a mechanical watch.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it runs off a battery, but it is a traditional mechanical watch. It has a hour hand and a minute hand, and you do set the time by pulling out the crown and turning it and setting it. But behind it, there's a screen that tells you things that you would want to see on a smartwatch, like caller ID, text messages, alerts, notifications of your calendar. What else does it have? It has, obviously, when the phone's ringing or you have voicemail indication as well, and alarms, and your battery life. And the way it does is a little different than a lot of other smartwatches out there. It has icons. So those icons light up. So it is just a basic screen, but they'll sit there and blink. Like, actually, right now I have some messages and emails sitting there blinking.
Okay.
And
so the screen can't just display anything. It's got those specific icons.
Yeah,
it shows.
Yeah. It does text at the top, and it does those icons at the bottom. Here's the thing. Like I said, this is a very handsome watch. I have that part. It feels. It's got a nice weight to it.
And it's not particularly like smartwatch looking. Like I don't.
No,
you don't look at it and think, oh, that's a smartwatch.
Yeah. No, I've actually had a few people this week being like, "Where's your smartwatch?" I'm like, "It's right here." but because they thought I just got an analog watch. I would say if I hadn't been wearing the Pebble, it'd be annoying. But I've gotten used to wearing a watch again, having worn the Pebble for, well, since last year. And so now it's like I feel naked without a watch on.
Sure, sure.
So it felt completely natural, completely normal. The weight is nice. One of my coworkers here, Peter, he wears a classic watch, and I compared it to his. And when I got it out of the box, I thought it was huge compared to my Pebble. But compared to other watches that are out there, it's pretty normal.
Yeah.
So it is pretty chunky. I don't think a girl would want to wear this one. But there is one that is actually a smaller size.
Okay.
But here's the thing. And this is where I stop being nice to it. The beauty of the Pebble watch that I've loved about the Pebble watch is that it makes my life easier. Okay?
Sure.
It makes me use my phone less. I get a notification from Facebook. I say, oh, I don't care about that. Clear it off. It's gone. It's gone from my phone. It's gone from my Pebble. Now, that they rolled out recently, but before, at least I cleared it off my watch and I was done with it. With the Cogito, it just nags you.
Oh, really?
It doesn't.
So you can't clear it out.
Right. So, and it doesn't even tell you what it is. Because it just blinks the little indicator. Like, I have one right now. There's a message that's on my phone, and I don't even know what it is, but it's blinking on my watch, and it's annoying me. And I can clear it off. And there, I just cleared it off. Now my screen's clear. I see what time it is. I see the date. And that's fine. But it didn't help me. It didn't save me any time.
Sure.
And that's not really helpful. I want to be able to see what it is or take action on it. Now, the other thing is, do you remember, you guys had watches when you were younger, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember how complicated they were? There was always like, hold these two buttons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, then you have to hold this button to go back. It's exactly like that.
Oh, fun.
To do anything.
Yay.
Like, there's actually a really cool feature on it where you can find your phone, as long as it's connected.
Oh, that's a good idea. I like that idea.
See if I remember how to do it. Nope, I didn't. I did it wrong.
You've got to hold the other two buttons and spin in reverse.
Ray just did a factory reset on the watch.
Oh, there it goes.
Oh.
So that's my iPhone doing that.
Okay.
Because I remembered which two buttons to hold, the command button and the bottom left button, and that turns on a little notification to find my phone, which is nice, you know? That's great. And you can go the other way around. You can find your watch from your iPhone.
That's good.
But again, it's a matter of remembering how to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to figure out, okay, which buttons do I push? So that's kind of annoying. And
sure.
I thought it'd kind of be more like the other smartphone apps where you can basically do everything from the app. And it's not.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you have to do from the watch.
That you have to do from the phone, you mean?
I mean, yeah. You have to do it from the watch.
Oh.
With the buttons. And you have to remember which button does which.
Oh.
Yeah. The other thing is the part of the screen that shows text messages is very, very small.
Mm.
It's half a text message at most.
Oh, yeah.
So every text message is going to be broken up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to remember, okay, which one is the button that you push to go to the next screen? Oops, I just cleared it out. Now I might as well get my phone out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did have difficulty throughout the week with it randomly losing connection or just stopping notifications, even though the app said it was connected and it was connected on Bluetooth. That was kind of irritating. But honestly, it was a pleasant relief for the few times where it did that, because I get a lot of notifications on my phone. My phone's going off all day. My phone dies in half the time that my wife's does, even though we have the exact same phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost always keep mine plugged in at my desk. Mm-hmm. So still.
Jeez.
So when you do get a notification, does the watch buzz? Does it vibrate?
It doesn't vibrate.
It doesn't vibrate.
It beeps. Like a classic watch, it beeps. So when I get a text message, I'll hear a little beep.
All right. I just sent Ray a text message.
Oh, no, I don't have my Wi-Fi on my phone. No. I turned that off, so I'm not going to get that.
Let me send that to you again.
Well, yeah, so we'll keep talking while it's doing that. But, yeah, there it goes. Did you hear that?
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Okay, that's
subtle,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to blow up at the symphony, you know.
That's
it's not
true.
Something you
like
have to be worried about.
It's not like people are going to glare at you because, it's going off in the middle.
If you don't get very many notifications.
True.
If you get as many notifications as I do, it gets annoying. Like, that's actually why I put my phone in airplane mode, so I wouldn't get any notifications during the first part of this.
Nice.
So then, I forgot to turn it back. But yeah, so it doesn't vibrate, and I know why it doesn't vibrate, even though I do love that about the Pebble. It's because this watch is not rechargeable.
What?
Yeah. Now, I like and I dislike it at the same time, okay? It uses a classic watch battery.
Okay.
So it's replaceable. It's very easy to replace. It actually has, just like the Apple keyboard you may be familiar with, it has a little coin screw turn on the back of it. So you just take a quarter or a dime and turn it, and it pops right out, and you can change it yourself. You don't have to take it to a watch place to get your battery changed.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. It is waterproof, and it's waterproof, I think, to 10 atmospheres. I forget how that translates into, like, you can swim with it, is what, basically.
So, the Pebble was not waterproof.
No, the Pebble is waterproof.
The Pebble is waterproof.
Yeah.
That's good, because I'm actually wearing Ray's Pebble right now, and I've showered with it for the past.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I know.
Okay. I have showered with it.
Oh, really?
I think I have gotten in the pool with it. But, here's the thing. I think this is a great watch. I really do. And I say that it's just not the right watch for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would be a perfect watch for a baby boomer.
Mm.
And I hate to stereotype. And it's really the stereotypical baby boomer would be perfect for. We're talking about somebody who age isn't really the issue. What it is somebody who doesn't use their phone that much, who, as many people do, buy a smartphone and never download an app. You know, you buy an Android or you buy an iPhone and you've never downloaded an app, and you like watches, this would be a good watch for you, because text messages and caller ID, it shows up really well. It actually shows up, like, if you've got the person stored in your contact, it shows their name. So, like, if Sean called me, it would pop up and say, Sean. My wife just texted me and said, almost done, question mark. It's showing up on there. So, that works. Short text messages work. But other than that, if you get a lot of notifications on your phone, you're not going to enjoy this, because all it does is nag you all day long. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah,
constantly.
I gotcha.
Instead of making things easier, it makes things actually worse.
Now, you have an iPhone.
I do.
Will this work for Android?
It does work for Android as well.
Okay.
No other operating systems that I know of.
It's got a... Now, I know it doesn't have a rechargeable battery.
Right.
Do you have any idea what the battery life is like?
I don't. And I don't even want to say what they say on the website, because I didn't get a chance to try it.
Sure.
But I imagine...
Presumably, it's a long time.
Yeah, honestly, based on the other Bluetooth devices that are out there that do not as little as this, but as simple as this is, it wouldn't surprise me if it lasts for several months. I wouldn't be concerned about that. The other thing I don't like about this, though, is the screen.
Yeah.
I mentioned the text message or the text area is small. The screen is also hard to see. Unlike the Pebble Watch, where it's very clear to see in sunlight, this, you kind of have to cover it. You know, it does have a...
Now, is that a backlit screen?
It does have a backlit screen, but it's like a digital watch screen.
Okay.
I mean, it's the classic digital watch size. I just got another text message.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of glare on it, too.
Yeah.
When I was trying to look at it the other day when you first got it, I had a trouble seeing anything that was showing up. I didn't see any text messages you had or anything like that, or even the icons at the bottom.
Yeah, ironically, you know, the idea of having an analog clock and a digital clock together is not bad. And honestly, back in the aughts, I would have loved a watch like this.
Yeah.
I remember Sony Ericsson put out a watch with Fossil, I believe. They worked with Fossil, and it was caller ID and text messages. And I was like, I want that so bad. But you had to have a Sony Ericsson phone, and I had a Nokia. So I was like, well, I'm never going to get that, so I'll never have it. But, you know, this was exactly what I wanted. I wanted just a simple screen with that simple information on it. And that way, you know, I just I thought that was the greatest idea. But now... I'm sorry. Let me go back to the hands. The issue is with the hands is they cover the screen half the time.
Oh, whoops. Yeah.
Literally half the day.
Yeah, sure.
The hands are up in the digital text area. The rest of the time, they're covering over the icons.
Yeah.
So at some point during the day, it's going to cover something that you're trying to see. If it was brighter, maybe that wouldn't be a problem. But since it's not, it doesn't really work that great. But like I said, it's a very handsome watch.
It is.
It looks very nice. It runs for about $180, this version. Ooh. Goes up to around $230, $240 for the steel band versions.
And is the band swappable? Or is
Okay. It's a regular watch band style, so it is exchangeable. Like I said, if I knew somebody who had an iPhone or an Android, and I knew they weren't really tech savvy, they weren't on Facebook all the time, they weren't getting a lot of notifications, but they were kind of into gadgets, yeah, I'd get this for them.
Okay.
So, but just not the watch for me.
All right.
One more question for you.
Yes.
Can you display Beats on it?
No, it does not show Beats. It only has two types of time. Analog and digital.
For those of you who don't know, go and search Swatch Internet Time.
Yep.
And get lost in the world of Beats.
It is a wonderful, wonderful
true.
Place.
It's true.
We've been talking about Internet Beats here at the station
for bringing them back.
So long.
I think we've been talking for a month straight about them.
Which is about 1,000 beats.
Oh, yeah. And I should say, no, 1,000 beats is a day.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tens of thousands of beats.
Tens of thousands.
Oh, I did want to say, though, the reason why Sean is wearing my watch is because when I saw this, I said, I have to commit to this. I have to commit to this for the sake of journalism. And I told him to hang on to it until tonight, because if I like or dislike this, you know, I wanted to make sure that I stuck with it. And I've worn it every single day since then. And every single day I've wanted my watch back.
Aww. Ray, I think it's time to finally do a passing of the watch.
Oh, there was one other thing. The app. The app itself is annoying.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it's for the stupidest reason. It's all grayscale.
Oh, why?
The whole app is...
Why would they do that?
I don't know. The whole app is grayscale. And to make it worse, Worcestershire?
You want worse.
Worse. A lot of the menu buttons are gray.
He's not kidding. Like, this is like...
Now, what do you
think? This app was made for, like, the Nokia 2100 or something.
What do you think when you see a grayed out button?
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work, right?
So the whole time I'm like, well, I'm going to tap it anyways. Oh, it does work. Wait, why does it work if it's grayed
That's
out?
That's bizarre. How many colors did they think they had to work with? Three?
They have four colors here that I see. There's gray, dark gray, black, and white. That's pretty much it.
That's the kind of app that I would expect from, like, a homegrown type of, like, this guy is just making an app in his basement for fun.
Yeah.
Not the app that goes with a watch that costs almost $200.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
If the iPhone had come out in 1996 instead of 2006, this app would have run on it comfortably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. This and you know, this is not... I don't think this is actually their first generation product.
Huh.
Oh, it does do action motion or motion activity monitoring.
Mm, okay.
So it will keep track of your motion during the day. And it does show that on the app as well.
Hmm.
It doesn't seem very accurate, though. Because I have pretty much sat on my butt all day in front of my laptop because it was a very heavy news day.
Yeah.
And it says I had 3,500 steps.
Hmm.
I don't think that's right. And yesterday I had 5,400 steps. So I don't think that's accurate. But I was surprised because one time I put it on and it was like the first time of the day and it said 2,000 steps. I'm like, nope. That's not true.
Maybe you sleep a lot of watches.
Maybe you sleepwalk.
But it is, like I said, it's a very handsome watch. Definitely something that I would consider getting for somebody who is a little tech savvy. And yeah, that's about it.
Hmm. All right. Well, now you guys have a great Father's Day gift idea out there.
There you go. That would work. It would work for a Father's Day gift, or it would work for late 90s, early 2000s Ray.
That's right.
If you have a DeLorean,
travel back in time,
bring this to me.
Ray, I think it's time. I'm going to try to remember to put some music in under this, or you can just sing.
It was very dramatic. I wish you could have seen us
That's
reach
really
across
the problem with the radio here.
And get my Pebble Watch. But it seems so tiny now. It's dainty.
Okay, so this is called the Cogito, the Cogito.
Yep.
I don't know who makes it. Somebody.
Cogito makes it.
Cogito.
Yeah.
It's the Cogito.
It's
Cogito.
A Cogito Classic.
Cogito Classic.
Yeah. There's also a Cogito Pop, which is a more sporty style, and it's smaller.
Okay.
And for the listener, just so you know, sense of perspective, the watch is the size of my wrist.
It's like it is.
It's a chunk of a watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. But if you have a suggestion for our show or just have a comment, give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. That's 1-888-972-9868. Or you can send us an email to feedback@dmobile.com.
And don't forget to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page and submit a story. It's really easy. Just go to dmobile.com/reddit and that'll take you to the page. And so if you see any cool tech stories that you want us to talk about, go there and submit them. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Dmobile Tech. Thanks for listening, guys. Well, that is all the news that we have, but we have a review coming up right after this break.
This is the break. This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.